Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Midnight Film Club. My name is David, and I'm here with Jay, as always. This is, I think this is the first week in a while that we've had a back-to-back week
since
Christmas, well, before Christmas.
Like we mentioned last week, Christmas and New Year is a really busy period. But
Especially here, yeah.
You can't be helped, can it?
And, nope.
Same thing happened with Fresh, you know.
It was fucked up.
Everyone's schedules were just fucked up, man, but... But yeah, how've you been, mate?
I've been all right. I mean, last week was one of those weeks where I'm like, God damn, I'm so done, and it's Monday.
Yeah.
I'm just like, fuck this. Like, you come back from holiday, and you're just like, nah.
It doesn't help when fucking everybody at work, I mean, I assume it's the same place where you work as well. The moment I walk through the door, it's as if everybody's got a rocket up their ass. Yeah. And I'm just like, what's changed? And like, everyone's been so busy.
Yeah.
I haven't really had a break this week.
Right.
It's been mental, man.
Go away for, you know, your holiday where you're supposed to be relaxed and chilling and whatever. And it's just a fucking madhouse. Like, I think like I went away for a week.
Yeah.
I think every day I was up at like 6:30 a.m.
just
to go do shit. And man, fuck this. Like, I want to sleep.
Yeah. And recently, of course, my commute's over an hour.
Yeah.
Because I live in West Tokyo. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned on the other podcast, by the way, nobody mentioned Chofu, which I was disappointed about.
It's a
good place to live. Man.
Sure.
There's a lot of dogs. But basically, my commute's over an hour, so I have to get up really early, and I start work at 8:30.
It's going to be my commute soon.
Yeah,
it's about an hour.
Yeah, we're on the same line, pretty much. Like,
we're going the opposite direction.
We're going past each other.
I'll meet you in Meguro.
A proper sliding doors moment.
Yeah.
Just like, imagine a movie scene where two trains go...
Yeah.
And Dave's got his hand on the glass.
There's that split second where it just slows down, and you see each other.
And then it speeds up, and I'm like, what the fuck was that, my bro?
Yeah.
Congratulations, by the way, on the new...
I'm getting out of this awful
the company.
Job.
Yeah,
the company. How badly do you think I can shit talk the company after I leave? It's probably not good to do that.
On a movie podcast.
I mean, we
can save it for the other one.
Oh, yeah.
I need to get on that. But yeah, I also want to thank you, man, because you and your girlfriend went to Kansai. Went to Osaka, and I had one request, and it was to bring me the Kuidare, like, clown
the
fucking
weird,
thing.
The weird doll clown man with
every,
the drum.
Yeah, every time I go to Osaka, I always get nostalgic for Dotonbori, and he's there, right, banging his little shitty drum. And I always have this weird photo with it, like, pointing at it, like, who the fuck are you, man? And I really wanted a tub of biscuits, and every day this week I've had one in my lunchbox.
Oh, there you go.
So thank you so much.
I was surprised because like we went to an aquarium in Osaka, the Osaka Aquarium. It's really nice.
Oh,
actually.
It's awesome.
It's an awesome aquarium.
It's like a Borg cube.
Yes.
It's like
exactly. Yeah. But there's a shop there that was
assimilated sharks in there.
Yeah. There's a shop there that was selling that stuff just kind of like in like big plastic bags. I'm like, oh, this is what Jay wanted. I'll buy it for him. And I decided at that time, I'm like, no, I'll get him something else. Because I wasn't 100% sure at that time what the fuck you were talking about. Because you're like, buy me that clown shit. And I'm like, the fuck does that mean? So I assumed that that's what it was, right?
It does look like a clown. I don't know what it is. It's probably
a fucking
Andy Pandy on crack.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
in like the train station in Umeda, they just had like a big ass candy store. And
is
there was
blue,
like
Blue Sky, is it called?
I don't remember what it's called.
The shop name.
Yeah, but they just had like the big, like nice tin, like a nice solid tin of cookies, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, like that's you can use the tin after
for some other shit. The tin's
too.
In the bar now. It's
yeah,
gonna
there
have
you
all
go.
My utensils in it.
There you go.
So thanks so much, mate. Honestly.
No problem.
And yeah, did you go in? Final question before we move on to this week's movie. Did you scout any Black Rain locations? I wanted to ask this last week.
I mean...
We saw Black Rain.
Unintentionally, maybe, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, I was at Dotonbori.
Did you feel like you were going to bump into Nick Sama and kick his ass for using chopsticks wrong?
But it was funny. It was funny because I was watching, Avengers?
Yeah.
The Endgame and Infinity War
yeah.
with Chihiro. And then I'm like, oh yeah, he's in this movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, he is.
I just saw him. I'm like, oh yeah, what the fuck?
Does he, what is he, Chopstick Man? What is
no,
he?
he's like, he's Hank Pym. He's the original Ant-Man or whatever, oh, right? So I'm like, oh yeah, he's in this movie. What the fuck? Because
his only line is, but I usually get kissed before I get fucked.
Because they go back in time, right, in Endgame, yeah. And they meet, like, younger version of him.
And it's Michael Douglas?
It's like de-aged Michael Douglas.
How?
The magic of cinema.
Did they just, like...
They probably used a body double and rain, like
fucking footage.
But yeah, so it was so weird. I'm like, oh yeah, shit, Michael Douglas is in this fucking movie. What the fuck?
Did you just go, Nixon?
Kind of.
Yeah. Speaking of Japan, we're back to a movie set in Japan, and
where we excel.
This movie needs a little bit of an introduction.
I like how both of us shifted in our seats.
Distancing. Ooh. My spear is sharpened, Dave.
Okay.
Anyways, to preface this.
Yes.
This is a movie that I'm going to say my rating from the start.
Oh, okay.
It's like a game of chess today, ladies and gentlemen, mm-hmm. and everybody. So, this is possibly one of my favorite movies ever made.
You're gonna piss me off in the first 10 minutes.
It was my favorite movie for a long time. It's kind of not now, which I will explain. But it is in my top 10. It is a 9.5/10 for me. However, it's gone down since I've lived in this country.
Okay.
Which I'll get to again. But all I have to say is, this is one of my favorite movies ever made.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to defend it.
Okay.
By myself.
I don't know.
It is literally like that scene in Red Dwarf.
I don't know if it's if it's going to be that scathing.
Justify Lost in Translation's existence. And I'm like, she's got a beautiful ass in the first 5 minutes. That's a Red Dwarf quote. Don't kill me. But anyways, Dave, who wants to introduce this movie? Should I?
I mean, you should. Hey, it's one of your top 10 movies, so take it away.
Everybody, today we are going to reassess. It's going to be a fucking bloodbath.
Maybe.
Dave's text yesterday about this were amazing. 2003's Sofia Coppola directed, Bill Murray starring, wonderful romantic, epic, beautiful aesthetic, Lost in Translation.
Roll it.
For relaxing times, make it Suntory time.
Katto, 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 katto! Jikan ga nai nda yo. Ne, passion ga, kamera, tension agete.
With intensity.
Is that everything? I mean, it seemed like he said more than that.
Mr. Bob Harris!
Yo, kita na, Bob.
You are a movie star.
Yes, I should be doing movies.
Yeah. You know Rat Pack?
Rat Pack?
A ring-a-ding-ding.
Mr. Harris, Mr. Kazuo sent me my stocking. Lip them.
What?
Hey, lip my stocking!
Lip them? What?
What are you doing?
My husband's a photographer, so he's here working. I wasn't doing anything, so I came along.
What do you do?
I'm not sure yet, actually. So what are you doing here?
Getting paid $2 million to endorse a whiskey. The good news is the whiskey works.
Help! Can you keep a secret? I'm trying to organize a prison break. We'd have to first get out of this bar, then the city, and then the country. Are you in or are you out?
I'm in.
How are you? I'm Bob.
You're probably just having a midlife crisis. Did you buy a Porsche yet?
You know, I was thinking about buying a Porsche.
I just don't know what I'm supposed to be.
You'll figure that out. The more you know who you are and what you want, the less you let things upset you.
You really are having a midlife crisis, huh?
Okay, so
I'm moving far and far back now.
Where do we begin?
Do you want to talk? I'll talk more about like the general knowledge of this movie.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
So it was made in 2003 by Sofia Coppola, the daughter of Francis Ford Coppola.
So written and directed by her.
Lance Accord was the cinematographer, which I'll mention. It came from an idea where she was staying in the Park Hyatt Tokyo Hotel, which is in Shinjuku. Pardon me, that's disgusting. And she was promoting the movie The Virgin Suicides, which is also a great movie. I don't think you'd want to watch it.
It's funny because like I heard just in my like cursive research of this movie, the people that hated this movie were kind of like, oh, I watched Virgin Suicides before this.
Yeah.
And it's this movie, but better.
There's so much that I like about The Virgin Suicides. The soundtrack, for one, which this movie as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'll defend and explain later. But basically, she had this idea while staying in Tokyo on a press tour. And she stayed in the hotel where this movie's set. And she decided to write a script. And it is a very minimal movie. It is just a... But, well, this is the thing. I say it's minimal, but, there's a lot going on with it. Tons going on that maybe, like... I wouldn't say the average viewer, because you're a seasoned film, like, watcher and TV watcher, and you know your stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, to average viewers, it gets lost on them. With you, I want to hear what you think about it. It probably didn't. But, like, there's just a lot that I want to talk about.
Okay.
About this movie. Why I think it is such a fucking beautiful movie.
Okay.
Where do you want to start with this, brother?
The
basic plot, in a nutshell, you can do in a few sentences. Or do you have a synopsis? A jaded synopsis by any chance?
I don't have a synopsis. I have a review. Do you want to hear what my overall review is?
All right, go for it.
Overall thoughts?
I'll breathe in.
This is weird. So I want to preface this because I don't know why, but I'd heard that they had marketed this movie as a comedy.
Yeah, they did on the trailers and everything. Which, yeah, they did.
Fucking what?
It's not.
It's not a fucking comedy at all. There's
bits.
Yeah.
But that's it. It's not like a fucking Wayne's World or something.
No, fuck no.
It's actually...
If you went into this movie expecting a comedy, you would fucking hate this movie.
It's not a comedy.
It's not a comedy. No. When I went in, I was not expecting a comedy, so I was not like, oh, why isn't the funny man doing the funny thing, right? Because that's not what I expected. But I'm saying in 2003... If you were sold this on the trailer and then you went to see this movie, you'd be like, what the fuck is this?
The trailer looks comedy-ish.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
The trailer,
yeah.
Right? But the thing is, this is a collaboration between... So Coppola wanted, like, final cut privilege, mm-hmm. right? So yeah. If any kind of big studio came in and swooped her script, they would be like, no, it's our edit, right? So she was there. She did everything herself with the crew, right? But... So to do that, she independently financed the movie. It was a $4 million budget, and it made, I think it was well over 100.
Right? Yeah, it was actually close to 200 or something.
It was
like
a really good movie at the time that made a lot of money. I think it lost that to Mystic River in the Oscars. The Oscars we'll get to.
Mm-hmm.
But in short, it was a collaboration between Tohoku Shinsha as well, the studio, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if a Japanese studio is kind of intervening and doing all this kind of stuff, they would perceive parts of this as comedic.
Comedy, yeah.
So I understand that there is that perspective as well.
Right. Okay.
However, we'll get to that as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you want to? I'll read my overall thoughts. Okay, I'll read it as written here. Okay. What appears to be marketed as a comedy turns out to be a character piece that ultimately says nothing and fails to engage you on any kind of level that isn't the most rote tropes of I gotta find myself and boy is Japan wacky. Ultimately, this movie feels like someone scouted cool locations and wrote a script solely to get Bill Murray's old ass there on screen.
Well, that's a fact. That's a fact, because she wrote that movie for him.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact. And, like, he is notoriously hard to get a hold of. So yeah. Apparently he has like a just a fucking like a beeper answering or some machine.
Shit. Yeah.
And like, look, Sofia Coppola has like, I shouldn't say she has a privilege because she's a really amazing female director, but like she has like a really famous dad. Yeah.
Her dad is Francis Ford Coppola.
So like she had a lot of like people that knew Bill Murray so she could get to him in a way, but like it was pretty like to the wire, right? Yeah. She'd already spent $1 million.
Just getting the production and shit
going. Yeah. On the promise that he said, I can't let you down. And when he arrived, mm-hmm. she was like, oh, thank fuck. Because yeah. he never signed a contract with this movie, right? Speaking of which, we'll move on to the characters. So,
okay.
The movie focuses on two Americans. I'm not looking at Dave when I say this. Because mm-hmm. of his text yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Two Americans who... By the way, this hotel is like... I mean, I stayed there recently. It was Sandman. But like, yeah. it was an end-of-year treat.
Like, per night, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. But obviously, like... But usually...
That's actually... That's less expensive than I imagine.
In the summer, Juman.
Yeah, okay. Maybe more. Yeah, that's so kind of
like, it was a good deal and I saved through the year and I just treated myself. Sat in the bar and just right. had a 5,000 yen whiskey because I could. Like, I mm-hmm. saved, yeah. right?
Mm-hmm.
Just to enjoy myself. So these two American characters, Bob and Charlotte. Bob is a 50-year-old in his 50s and he's an ex-actor. He's basically Bill Murray. Who is jaded with his fucking life, hates his marriage, and probably hates his kids. I don't know. But he's in Tokyo.
It seems like he cares about his kids. At
he
least somewhat.
He cheated on the mum. That's like...
No, that's his wife. Who gives a fuck about his wife?
No, but the kids, man. Like,
yeah.
But basically, he's in Tokyo, and he's like, I fucking hate it. I should be doing movies. Oh, sorry, this bloody beer, man.
He's basically in Tokyo to collect a... paycheck. He says that very blatantly. He's like,
$2 million and yeah. I don't want to do it. And it's like, fuck you, man. That is my only complaint with this movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's
being Yale Scarlett educated. Scarlett Johansson's character, a
17-year-old Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
Which I feel bad about.
Creepy. Right. I mean, okay, let's be real here. I literally wrote, what the fuck is this opening? Because it literally opens on Scarlett Johansson's barely clothed ass. And I'm like...
What did you think about that? I want to know your exact thought when you were watching it. What did you feel?
I was just like, what the fuck? I'm like, what the fuck movie is this? Because I've never seen this movie until this watching. Mm. I'd never seen it, right?
Were you with Chihiro?
No. It was just
I was going to say, she just walks in and it's just on the screen.
So watching this for the first time, I kind of like... Because Lost in Translation is a movie that you hear a lot about. Like, it's kind of, it's up there. It won an Oscar, right? Like, it's a well-tread, talked-about movie. So I kind of had this image of, like, what is...
The fuck is it?
Is yeah. this movie?
Yeah, yeah.
And then in the first 3 seconds, it's just a shot of Scarlett Johansson's ass. And I'm like, oh, no, okay.
It's 20 seconds. 20 no, seconds I mean, long. Oh, I mean, no, yeah, yeah.
In,
the
first in like, the first three yeah, yeah. seconds. It's just, focus and it just holds there. Up, and I'm yeah. like... What the fuck movie am I actually watching? Because I was unsure from, you know, second three.
Three bits of trivia for you.
Mm.
You want me to hit you with this?
Are you going to tell me that Francis Ford Sofia Coppola did this first before Scarlett Johansson?
No, I would have loved to have seen so.
Yeah.
I can't do that. That's disgusting because that defeats the point I'm trying to make, mm. right? So there are three pieces of trivia about this.
Mm-hmm.
One, it's based on the artwork of a famous surrealist painter, right? Yes, a famous
painter, yeah.
And in the hotel, they have
the his painting. Artwork. Yeah, it's
well,
it's
on no, the I haven't seen that painting in the hotel.
They have other artwork. Because they have paintings everywhere, man.
Like, even in the hotel room, like mm-hmm. in the bath, yeah. it's like a huge canvas.
Mm-hmm.
And I've stayed in two rooms there, and it's been like different for each one. So
right.
I've yet to see it. But. So she based this shot on that painting
mm-hmm.
because she's a female director and she wanted to kind of like, I don't know, make a feminist kind of statement, right? So in like feminist film theory,
uh-huh.
the male gaze, I was reading uh-huh. about this years ago about it. So mm-hmm. it's like, as lads, right? As guys, I shouldn't say lads, as guys, right? If that comes on screen, you know, you're supposed to feel uncomfortable because of how long it's there. I do, because I'm like, it's awkward. It really
yeah,
is awkward.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So it's like, it is such a kind of objectifiable kind of shot, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's her rat. It's her ass, right? Just there. Mm-hmm. You can see it. And you're like, you can either go one or two ways. You can go, tweet, tweet, that's sexy. Or you can go, this has been on for a bit too long.
My question was just, why?
Why? I mean, in terms of her character, she's just not doing anything throughout the movie, like, okay, right? She's just, like, lying there, and it's like... Yeah,
I've written, I think it was near the end of the movie, I have it in my notes, I said, the amount of times that Scarlett Johansson is in her panties in this movie is fucking weirdly obnoxious.
Well, this is the thing, it's not a sexual movie.
No, it's not. So, like, why?
Because, I read this somewhere as well, this movie, this is the beauty of this movie, it kind of smashes a lot of... What tropes? Not the word tropes. Like, basic kind of... tropes, yeah. It smashes a lot of tropes, right? So basically, you're supposed to look at her ass and think, oh, yeah, she's going to get naked in this film or something like that. But it's not. It's a very postmodern kind of romance movie. Because romance movies in general, like, serendipity, right? They meet in a bookshelf, they kiss. Oh, will they, won't they? And it's like wispy music it's and the, fucking it's Creed's
the,
playing.
It's the Notebook,
like,
right?
If I were here, you know, and you just in the Notebook and... And it's not that kind of romantic movie. That's what I love about this movie. It's very subtle. And, like, you have that expectation when you see that first frame and you think, is it going to be like this? And it's not.
No.
It's not. And it's like, it is really different in that regard. It really is. It kind of, because if you look at every kind of romance movie, the only ones I can kind of compare to this are like the Before Sunrise series, which we need to watch as well. Very kind of, my fucking brain today. Like, thinking movies, thinking romance movies. They're not in your fucking face. They're not shoving sex down your throat. They're not.
Right, okay.
They're not saying, look at her ass. Sorry, that was disgusting. But like, we'll delete that. They're not.
We don't edit. What are you talking about?
You know what I mean? But like, they're literally saying, this is a woman just in her environment.
Mm-hmm.
And like.
Right. And like, why? Why are you getting flustered about it?
Exactly. It's just a woman in her pants.
Yeah.
That's all. Like, you know what I mean? And it's throughout the tone of the movie,
it's real to reality. Like, it's more of an accurate reflection of what reality is rather than, like,
I mean, I wish a
reality movie presents.
I mean, I wish I was getting $2 million to pose for a whiskey and then, like, stay in the Park Hyatt for a week.
Yeah.
Maybe over a week because he gets a longer stay, right?
On somebody else's dive.
Yeah, on somebody else's fucking bill. But, like, yeah, it is a very, like... Because this movie's shot like a kind of home movie.
A little bit, yes. It's like...
With the light
weirdly in. Kind of, like, documentary-esque in a way.
Captures each moment in a kind of very intimate... Because the lighting's very low, which I'll talk about. And it's like an intimate snapshot into, like, this person's kind of universe through, like, episodes.
Okay.
Again, deviating from the kind of usual rom-com formula, it's very episodic and it switches between characters at such a pace that it's like...
Right.
It feels like
almost every, like, 5 to 10 minutes, it switches characters' perspective.
So it's kind of... And it's kind of very... Well, it is linear because they go through the week, but it's like two parts of the same day. In each act from both character. And enough about that opening. We're 20 minutes in.
Yeah. All right. Fuck. Okay.
Yeah.
This one will go long because I think there's a lot to talk about with this movie.
But when I explain that, do you see where I'm coming from?
Yes.
Bits to it. But I get it. The first watch, you want to be kind of like, this movie needs to blow me away. I understand that.
Not that it needs to blow me away, but it just needs to give me something.
Right.
Like, I think... For me, the biggest problem with this movie is I don't connect with any of the characters at all. Like, 0%.
That is a good point.
Because I come into this movie and you have Bob, who's like this jaded ex-actor, but he's getting paid $2 million to sit in a fucking chair and go, it's Suntory time, right? Like, that's all he has to fucking do. Yeah. And he's just this miserable old fucking bastard. And I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Does this come from your hatred of Bill Murray?
No. I'm going to say no. But I will say, Bill Murray is a fucking awful actor.
Why do you hate Bill Murray, mate? Why? Can you please explain?
Because Bill Murray...
The guy, man.
Bill Murray is like shitty Keanu Reeves.
What the fuck? Why? Why?
Because
justify your existence, David.
Keanu Reeves actually is charming, But the problem with Keanu Reeves is in every movie he's in, he plays Keanu Reeves.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wait, wait.
Whoa. This movie was amazing.
That's my Keanu.
But here's my problem is Bill Murray plays Bill Murray in every movie. And he's just an old grouchy fuck in every fucking movie.
I have to combat that. I have to shove my spear.
There's one movie where he's not an old grouchy fuck, and it's Ghostbusters, and that's it.
Nah, man. I mean, Steve Zissou, he's different, personally. His character's different.
Maybe I haven't seen enough Bill Murray movies.
Rushmore, yeah, he's kind of weird. He's kind of that character in Rushmore, but like, I wouldn't say he's typecaster because he's done a lot of different styles of movies.
Sure.
But here's where I'll defend Bill Murray on this, right? In a lot of Bill Murray kind of movies, mm-hmm. he's a comedian. He's SNL, right?
Sure.
Yeah. So like him and Chevy. Mm-hmm. I love that name, even though I don't like the guy. But like, he was like SNL alumnus. Am I using that term correctly?
Alumni.
Alumni, yeah. So he's a comedian, man. In Ghostbusters, some of the shit he says, like his acting, like...
Yeah, yeah.
Range is like he's fucking hilarious, man. Like, this man has no dick. It's like one of the best lines ever, man.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. And in this, the shades of that Bill Murray.
Sure.
With all the movies I've watched of Bill Murray, the shades of that, he cracks a sarcastic joke every now and again, and he's like, you know, trying to when in the scenes where he's trying to kind of reconnect with reality, you see that Bill Murray where mm-hmm. it's like. Joking with Charlotte or joking with like the bartender or whatever, and he's making quips. But like, there's a proper like emotional kind of half moon side to him in this, which I haven't seen. I saw bits in Groundhog Day, but that's kind of a weird dark comedy, right?
Mm.
And in the end, when he's like, "I really love you," and I'm stuck in this time loop, that's a little bit of the Bill Murray that you see in Lost in Translation, and in Lost in Translation. When I watch him act in it, I feel how his character feels.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't really resonate with, like, how he feels. But at the time when I first watched it, I was like, I can see how he's feeling.
Right.
Like, he's a fantastic emotional actor in this. I really do think so. And, like, it's the first time I saw that from him. So when I first saw this movie, I was like, wow, he's... It's like when Jim Carrey did... Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, I always compare it to.
Yeah.
Where that's not a comedy, but Jim Carrey's the main character, right? And he's fucking serious in that. Not as serious as Bill Murray in this, but my point is, comedians can play serious roles and show emotion. And I was really impressed by it in this because he does have that side to him.
My problem is I just see Bill Murray.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something
I cannot divorce Bill Murray from this character because here's my fucking problem though is that like Bill Murray now today 2022 Bill Murray is Bob.
Yeah.
Like literally. Yeah. So my problem is that when I think of Bill Murray, I think of 2020 Bill Murray and then I look at Bob and I'm like they're the same person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm like okay, he's just Bill Murray.
I mean, yeah, yeah. What do you think of Charlotte, though?
I think she's a lot more interesting than Bill Murray's character.
Right, right.
Because she actually, you know, has something to say.
Bill Murray's character is just like, it's the midlife crisis kind of like thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
We can't relate to that.
No, not yet.
We can't.
Well, like, I'll get there.
If you try and think about, I mean, we're not as privileged to be in his character's position where he's a millionaire. Yeah, his wife hates him and he hates his wife or whatever, but it's like, you know, if I were in that situation, any kind of discontent that you feel in your life is valid, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, that's what I try and connect with. It is an emotionally intelligent movie. That's what I'll drop.
I agree, but I don't care.
That's where we differ. That's where we differ. Because you know what I'm like. I find beauty in, you've seen American Beauty, like the guy where he sees the plastic bag and he's like, it's the most beautiful thing ever.
It's swirling in the wind.
Pretty similar to that.
Right.
Whereas you're very, I mean, you give a shit about the people you care about and that, but it's like, in far of that scope, in line of that, you kind of like, who gives a fuck? There's that side to you, which is cool, you know what I mean? Like, but...
That's, I think... here's how I view this movie, and I'll put it in Lost in Translation terms, right?
Aesthetic.
This movie is a movie for Charlottes, not a movie for Bobs.
Yeah.
If you understand what I mean.
Well, a lot of Bobs have probably gone to Japan and already, like, fucking got a JR pass for a month and just traveled the country, because when you retired, that's what people do. They travel the world before COVID, right?
Well, and here's like...
But Charlotte is very, like, moody and isolated.
Right, she's very moody and she's isolated. But, like, I feel like where Bob is just... He's 100% okay to just fuck around in the Park Hyatt Tokyo and just sit at the bar all fucking day.
Yeah, and then go home.
And then go
home. Drink Hibiki 21 whiskey, which 17,000 for a single.
Yeah, I know. It's fucking expensive. But whereas, like, Charlotte's off, like, she's going to, like, temples. She's going to Kyoto. She's going to see shit, right? So, like,
He golfs at one point.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
What the fuck, dude?
Shizuoka. He's probably on the same course as fucking Dan in Yamanashi.
It's something CC. I don't remember. I looked it up.
Yeah.
But, like, my problem with this movie comes from, like, it's supposed to be like this kind of, like, wrong time, wrong place, subtle romance between two characters who are divided by age and life circumstances, marriage, and all this other shit, right?
Yeah.
And it's just like,
have you ever had an experience like that in your life where a romance was unobtainable, but you had that connection?
Yeah, of course.
Me too. And it's like,
and maybe that's why I don't care as much, because
I know
where the outcome is going to go.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I know, okay, this was kind of like, it's nice, it was fleeting, but ultimately nothing comes of it. And I guess if you look at the movie from that context, you'd be like, oh, it's a very beautiful movie.
Yeah.
Whereas I go, it meant nothing.
Yeah. 100% agree with that.
Yeah.
100% agree. We're on the same page with that. Because you mature, you grow up, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, if you stay in that kind of mindset, and if you try and share the mindset of the characters...
Mm-hmm.
It is really interesting, I think, especially like in the place itself, which I'll talk about as well. It adds to that kind of euphoria, because for me, like, you can tell they've never been to Japan before.
No,
because they're discovering shit for the first time, right? we need a whole section on how stupid they are.
We'll get there.
I will agree with that. But, like, I first watched this movie in 2013. It was a year before I came as a tourist for 2 weeks. And, like, now I understand how fucking stupid they are and how I may have been during that time, right? Not on that level, but, like, you know, because we've lived here for, like, 5 years now, and you're a little bit longer and stuff, and you've been here before too. And there's certain things that we have to say about it from our kind of perspective. It's not a gatekeepy thing, but it's more like, fucking idiots. You know what I mean? Sometimes. But I just want to talk about the place dead quick.
Okay.
Tokyo is like... Because I love visual shit.
Mm-hmm.
How they shoot Tokyo. I get it. It's like a picture book. Because you mentioned that on message, right? 100% understand. But how they shoot it with the lights and the soundtrack that they use, and like the foley and everything, like the ambience,
right?
The
sound. I mean, I'm not going to disagree with you. I think it's a beautifully shot movie.
It feels like, because they're in this world, the hotel's their safe place, right? They can do whatever they want. But when they go outside, it's like they're constantly interacting with a different character, and that character's the city, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Because the city has so many things that just it throws at them, and they're just like, we don't know what to fucking do. And like the city, like, encapsulates the mood of the movie that they're trapped in, and that kind of like amplifies their kind of jet lag, and it amplifies their loneliness and all this kind of stuff that we'll get into. Because how they shoot Tokyo is not, Tokyo does not look exactly like that.
Not anymore.
Like if you I mean,
so
it looks like a 20-year-old movie.
It's weird. Okay, because I sent you a message. I think it was like, I was like maybe 10, 15, 20 minutes into this movie.
And you were like, I've already gasped.
No. I said, what did I say? I said, this movie feels like the Japan I remember. Because
that's
I came to Japan the first time in 2002.
Mm.
And this movie is the year after.
Well, they would have probably shot it. When were you here? 2002?
Yeah, 2002.
Was it October?
No, it was August. No, it would have been Golden Week. So that's when? March?
Would you like me to check when they shot this? Because it was the year before 2003. You could have
been It could have been. Could possibly. I didn't see them shooting, so, like, who knows.
I've but... just gone on my Wikipedia, and it's Rudy Giuliani. So he got subpoenaed today. Woohoo! Yes.
But... Yeah, it's...
September 29, 2002.
And do you know how I know that I was here before this movie? Because at the shot in Shibuya Crossing that they show, there you can see, you can very clearly see the Starbucks across the street. Now, when I was here in 2002, that was not a Starbucks. Well, it was under Starbucks construction.
Starbucks in the queue front.
Yes. It was not Starbucks.
The super fucking cyberpunky queue front now. It's got the massive screen on top. Mm-hmm. Have you seen that as well? So that wasn't a Starbucks when you were here?
Not when I was here.
They still had the Shibuya 109, right?
But yeah, 109 was there.
The old kind of crusty lettering. Now it's all futuristic.
I know exactly when I was here because Hikaru Utada's album Heart Station had just came out that week.
Is that the one with...
I don't know which one.
You will love love or something. No, I forget. No, no, no.
I don't remember.
But I do love
them. But it did come out.
I do love them.
It did come out that week.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in 2002.
I think so.
Well, this is the thing, man. I'm proper jealous of this because, like, there was a... I just want to deviate.
Maybe I'm incorrect in my memory shit.
Nah.
But I don't think that's
the case. You don't forget shit like photographic kind of memories. It's very real. It's weird. You know what I mean? Even if you can't remember the ambience, you can remember a moment. But basically, I want to deviate. In the year 2000, I always wanted to be in Shibuya then because one of my favorite bands, Feeder, they toured here because their bass player is Japanese. I remember seeing it years and years ago and just going, oh, fucking hell, like, Shibuya looks dope. And the subculture at the time, like, of the new millennium, there was so much, like, reggae and just, like, underground rap and everything. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It just looked like a fucking cool place to be in, like, the early 2000s. Still is. I mean, Shibuya is fucking sick. Like, but 20 years ago, it just looked so different. Mm-hmm. Would have been 20 years this year when you went, right?
Yep.
This Golden Week. Why were you there?
I was visiting my cousin. He was working in Sagamihara.
No way. And you went to... How old were you?
I was 11th grade.
No way.
Yeah, that seems about right. Because I would have been, I'm what, 31 now? Maybe it was a little bit after that. Maybe now I'm thinking about, like, when did I graduate? Maybe my brain is telling me shit that doesn't make sense. Did you feel
any of the themes in this movie when you first went? I know I'm asking for a 20-year memory. Did you feel pretty alienated and kind of like, what the fuck is this?
It was,
you know what I mean? Like,
it was definitely more like... Wow, this is shit I've seen before in pictures, and like now I can kind of like visualize it in like a larger context.
Yeah.
But it was never like this place is alien. It's just like this place is.
I'm gonna go to a shrine place and cry after.
Yeah, like no,
that is one scene I don't like because I'm just. I get that you're frustrated. I cry a lot. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And but like I've never gone to like fucking. What's the temple in Kawasaki that we went to in the first
Kawasaki week? Daishi.
Yeah, Daishi. I've never been to Daishi or like any other like Kiyomizudera and just gone, oh, I saw a monk that was chanting and then just burst into tears after calling my friend. But like, it's like
what?
But then I do see another angle on that where like she might have found it such a beautiful alien thing and she's kind of like, well, my husband doesn't give a fuck about me and I don't know what I'm doing and what the fuck?
Yeah, and I'm in a foreign country. I'm kind of like left up to my own devices.
Yeah, but jet lag, man.
Yeah, it does weird shit to you.
It does. And that's why I said I didn't like that scene. I understand that scene.
Mm-hmm.
Are you good with jet lag?
Usually I'm pretty all right, yeah.
Like, when was the last time it really fucked you up? Because it
when I came here, because like when I came back from Canada, but like that was fucking 2-3 years ago now.
Yeah. Coming back, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like I sleep for a week, and I just feel like whenever people come up to me and go, "Oh, it's quite a summer dish," I like, "I hope you had a nice holiday," and I'm just like, "Fuck off." That's how it makes me feel. So like emotionally, I can kind of understand the characters in this movie from that perspective, mm-hmm. but.
it doesn't really make it clear. They just go, oh, here's me and the clock says 4:20, blaze it. Like, you know, and they're just like not sleeping. I understand that, but like, they look pretty active.
It's
weird.
It's like, so weird because, like, I don't know, for me, because it's so weird too, because both of us have lived.
Shit, sorry, mate. That's your camera.
It's all right. Like, both of us have lived this experience, right? We've lived the coming to Japan and your jet lagged experience, right?
And it is a wave.
Multiple like, times,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, multiple times.
But, like, I assume that you've never woken up at 4:20 a.m. and sat in your boxes on the windowsill and, like, looked out at Tokyo and been like, wow, what am I doing with my life? Like, it's so fucking pretentious. I'm just like, what the fuck? I'm like, I don't care.
Fair.
Like, my problem, I have such a problem with movies that take themselves so fucking seriously and so pretentiously and just deliver me fucking nothing.
What's pretentious about it?
Because you're not telling me anything. Like, you're just showing me this character sitting in a fucking window and it's like, character is sad. You should feel sad now. Here's my slow pan to character in window. Please feel something. Like, it's just so like, but it's like, oh, but it's beautiful. And the character's sitting there and she's alien and she's looking out at the city that she doesn't understand. It's like,
looking down at Shinjuku Station, which is the worst fucking station in Japan.
Fuck off. I don't care. I don't. You can't make me care. You have to do something in the narrative.
Set it in a hostel. It'd be better, man, because the whole kind of money thing pisses me off with this movie. Because it's like, you expect me to feel sorry for you when you're getting paid $2 million.
Yeah.
And like, I shouldn't really say this about a person's education, but it's like, you went to Yale, you were lucky, right?
Yeah.
Or you worked hard to get there, but like, I can't go to Yale, right? And I think her husband, Giovanni Ribisi, he says to her, about the Cameron Diaz kind of character.
Right.
No one, you know, not everybody went to Yale, you know. You shouldn't, like, insult her intelligence, even though she's, like, really insufferable. You know, the woman that's like, you know.
Yep.
So my point is, I do find that difficult with the characters now, because when I first watched it, I wasn't very mature in that sense. Now that I've got a stable job and I make money and I live in the city or whatever, right? I'm like, oh, you fucking Enar. Like, must be really nice to, like, have this. But then again, my emotional kind of side, my empathetic side, is like, anyone can feel that shit. It doesn't matter where they are in society or whatever. So it's like, and all feelings are kind of valid. It's just the perspective in which we view it, which you've got to be in a certain mood for this movie.
I think so. Yeah, maybe.
And I understand what you mean about the characters. I do, because you need somebody to resonate with. She's very young, and we're not as old as him. We're in this middle.
I'm rapidly approaching.
No, but you know, I fucking hear it. Like, it's like we're in this middle where we're like, fuck this, whatever. And our lives, like, we play it safe now in our lives, and we're good, and we're comfortable. And it's like, we live in this place. So I understand why you think that about them.
Yeah.
And I do too.
Well, I mean, like, specifically, I think it's like they're having a conversation with the blonde-haired, like, movie actress who's, like, they're promoting
Anna Faris,
a movie,
right?
Or whatever. Yeah, Anna Faris' character.
Yeah. Chris Pratt's ex.
Yeah. Where I wrote down in my notes, I hate all American gaijin like this. They are so fucking vapid.
That's what she wanted to kind of portray.
Yeah, they're extremely vapid, and I fucking hate them all. So, like, again, this is another thing. Like, this is a movie of, like, death by a thousand cuts for me of why I hate it. Because it's a small thing, but it just piles on over and over and over again. It's like, yes, I get the characters are sad. Yes, I get the characters are in an alien place. Yes, these are a bunch of vapid Americans. Yes, they suck. And I'm just like, at the end of the movie, I'm so mentally tired of just being bored to fucking death that I don't care.
Here's my take, right? This movie is made by, well, I shouldn't say foreign, but we live in Japan. A foreign director, right? An American lady who spent a lot of time here doing fashion. She's got friends here, blah, 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 right? So she's lived here. Not to the extent that we have.
No.
So that she could get jaded with the place. Right. So she has a very star-eyed view about Japan, right? So how she represents it from her view, it is a picture book kind of love letter to this place.
Mm-hmm.
Very well shot. Exceptionally shot.
Mm-hmm.
Really emotional. And I understand her love for this place.
From
her experience.
Right.
However, here's my point. She lived here for a while like us. Imagine us making a movie like that.
She would not make this movie, right?
Imagine us making a movie. If we had to make a movie about this place, though, Dave.
Our movie would be Bill Murray goes to the Shaq show and wants to shoot himself.
And like, then
that would be what happens.
It's more like, I was going to say, Bill Murray goes to the soap land.
That too.
And then he's just
fuck.
Like, and then Charlotte's just
Bill Murray cheats on his wife in another way.
Yeah, and then fucking Charlotte brushes him in the elevator and somebody goes, oh, she can't. Like, yeah, and then he's in jail.
Don't you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. To be honest with you, it's not realistic, actually, because on Dave's other podcast, he spoke about Gaijin gatekeeping, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if they were anywhere else in Japan,
mm-hmm.
They'd have like people who lived here, you know, the people.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Staring them out.
Oh yeah.
There's none of that.
Not in Tokyo, no.
There's none of the, well, what are you doing it? You're a tourist?
Yeah, what the fuck?
Oh,
yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. You know, so when we end this episode, I want to think of like a plot for our movie. Mm. Our Lost in Translation kind of like affiliated sequel.
Okay.
Where it's James and Dave. So put that on the back burner, but we'll end with that.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry if I fucked up your notes.
No, but I mean, we've kind of been jumping all around because I think this movie, again, like, does not have a necessarily 100% A to B to C plot.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very, I think it's long. It's not, like, super long. Like, it's not fucking Infinity War. Yeah. But it's long enough.
Did it feel like Infinity War?
No.
Right. I want you to lead with something. Any kind of interesting point.
Okay. Let me see.
Sharpening my spear.
God, what do I have? Yeah, I just said stuff like, yeah, the
Fukuoka?
Fukuoka. Arigato. Mushi mushi. Just like shit like that. I'm just like, I literally wrote Fukuoka, arigato, mushi mushi, kill me. In my notes. I'm just
no,
like,
but that's what she wanted to portray, that they're ignorant.
They're ignorant, yes. I understand that. But at the same time, I'm just like,
it's cringe, yeah.
I'm like, it's just... Maybe... I think that the problem...
It's a good thing, because you're not supposed to like him or her.
No.
In that scene.
I think the biggest thing for me about this movie is that I've lived in Japan long enough, I understand Japanese well enough that, like, all the conversations in this... movie,
you can understand what that's
yeah, exactly.
Same, yeah,
so
yeah.
Here's the problem, though, is that, like, I think her intent with this movie was that as a viewer, you weren't supposed to know what the fuck was going on. You were supposed to be in the shoes of Bill Murray's character or Charlotte's character. But because I'm not, it takes me right out of this fucking movie.
And that's a negativity. That is one of the only negativities I have with this movie, where it makes the Japanese people look incredibly alien in their own environment.
Yeah.
And they're laughing at them at the same time. Yep, like they're a comedic set piece. And I've seen criticism of that where it's like, they're made out to be stupid.
Yes.
In some
yes,
scenes.
Kind of.
Which is kind of shitty. Like, well, it is shitty, right? Like, especially during the director scene, right? Where the translator is like, hence the title of the movie, he said it, she said it, right? He's like, Boba-san, like, Jikan janai da yo, like, passion, whiskey.
Yeah,
he says something like, you're
in your study, and you have Suntory whiskey on the table, and you want to take it with some intensity, and like,
you mean that?
Yeah, and then like,
wakaru? Like this, and then she's
wakaru?
Like,
wakaru? It's Suntory time.
Okay.
Wakaru? Okay, it's Suntory time. And
he fucks up, and he's just like,
and then... And then the lady just goes like,
turning the camera.
He wants you to look at the camera, okay? And it's like, that is not. But and I mean, Bill Murray says like, I don't fucking know, mate.
The realistic thing about this scene is, I like when I first came.
You've had that exact situation
with JTs,
yeah,
and like people I worked with in the past, right? And the old job, just like,
of course,
just like, they're having this conference in the classroom or in the teacher's room, and then they come over and go, James, we want you to introduce, okay? And I'm like, are you sure? Like, I've been in that sitch. We all have. But then, like, it's just, they're shown to be kind of like, I get that she wanted to show the differences in culture, but, like, we're all human beings. Mm-hmm. And, like, when you live here, Japanese people, like, I'm not all Japanese people, of course, like, a lot of them.
People are people.
They're just fucking people. You know what I mean? Like, and every character they meet in this movie is, like, a weird, not caricature, but, like,
they're like a weird...
The extremes of all the people you could possibly meet.
They're like weird robot people, right?
Yeah, like the director is this really fucking mad director. And then like the masseuse is a fucking prostitute. And then like, I mean, probably. But like, and then you meet her friends, like they're all smoking hash.
Yeah.
Right? Did I say hash?
Yeah,
weed. They're all smoking the weed, right? All of them. And then it's like, oh, my friend here is like fashion designer, blah, blah, blah. I'm fucking... It's like... the most perfect examples of the people in those roles. Like, there's nobody normal.
Right, yeah.
There's, you know what I mean?
There's not Salaryman Tanaka who goes to his 9-to-5 and then drinks at the izakaya.
Bill Murray bumps into him at an izakaya and it's just like, hey, man, how are you? And it's like, oh, good. Here's a picture of my kids. You know, just like a normal person. It's always like, and then they're in this really arty club and then they're in like a strip club and then they're in like a fucking shabu shabu restaurant, which, look, this is another... Now I'm speaking negatively, but like, I'll get this out. Shabu shabu.
Mm-hmm.
You cook yourself.
Yes.
Right? That is a Japanese dish, right?
Oh, hang on. I have a note about it.
I know that people in the West, right, get off your fucking high horses when you come here, right? Because some of you are like, what the fuck is this? Why should I cook my own food? Which he says in the movie, in this cuisine, there are some dishes that you cook yourself.
Do you want to read my
That's
notes?
That's fucking awesome.
My last three notes.
Daikanyama, where the fuck are you staying? Daikanyama. This is hot pot, not sushi. A good one. Holy fuck. What does that mean, a good one?
So he says, he specifically quips, what kind of a restaurant makes you cook your own food? And I say, a good one. Holy fuck.
I'm actually going to Shabuyo on Saturday. I love Shabu Shabu.
Shabu Shabu's fucking good. Like,
but this is the thing. They look at the menu and it's like, and he goes, I can't tell the difference. And I'm like, it's more marbled.
Yeah,
you can see like, that you it's can more see... marbled and you can see that it's more and, like, and I better cut. Yeah. Like, the fuck? And her attitude in that scene, I know she's pissed off at him because he sleeps with a lounge singer, right? Which is weird. But like, she just throws the menu at the waitress. And I'm just like, no wonder you and the crew were kicked out of that restaurant. Because they did.
Yeah. Because I'm not surprised.
Same thing happened with Black Rain. They went over, pulled the power out.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were like, what the fuck? You're rude. And it's like, no, play by the rules. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But, dude, there's so much more to say, to be honest. Yeah, but I need to kind of get back on the defending wagon, to be honest.
So, here's... Let me use a scene from this movie to illustrate how I felt watching this movie.
You
know where Bob is at, like, that fucking strip club where they're playing fucking Peaches Fuck the Pain Away? Yeah. Right? I'm Bob watching this movie. Like, the stripper is the movie, and I'm Bob. You're supposed to be showing me something, like, provocative or, like, thought-inducing or something, right? It's supposed to make you feel something, right? But he's just in that strip club going like, I feel nothing. And that was me this entire movie.
But I'm when she like, falls down.
And he's like, oh, wait,
that's you.
That's me. I'm like, for like 1 second, I'm like, oh, they're going to do something interesting? No. No, they're not. No. I thought they were going to do something, but I was wrong.
Yeah. I don't know where to go on.
Like, I hate to be so fucking negative about this movie, but I fucking hated it.
If you'd never been to Japan before, do you think that you'd enjoy it more?
Maybe.
The first time I watched it was before I visited. And that's like, why I loved it more. If I watched it now, yeah, it'd be a 7 or an 8. I've got that sentimentality with it because it is one of the things that inspired me to kind of move it because I'm like, wow, it's one of the only movies about set in Japan, Western movie set in Japan that like shows it in this light. It's very unique, right? I think Barbel had like a segment in Japan or like fucking Inception had like a tiny bit in Kyoto. But you do not see Japan and Black Rain, you do not see like Tokyo represented in like Western movies that much. So like,
unless it's like good, unless it's like we're gonna ride the Shinkansen, we're gonna go to temples in Kyoto, right? It's always like the very surface level Japan is cool. You don't bullshit. See
them going to like fucking.
They're not going to mom and pop's izakaya in like the middle. They're not of going to fucking Kamata, right?
Torikizoku or something.
No, like no, they're not, right?
Look, if Bob and Charlotte went to Toriki, which is a izakaya chain that sells really good food, we'd have a better movie, I think, in that regard.
Well, they wouldn't have been kicked out for being fucking assholes.
Yeah, they can smoke all they want. Yeah. It's pretty tight. But, this is making me think now, actually. It's...
like, okay, let's talk about their relationship together, Charlotte and Bob. Because yeah, we haven't really talked about their relationship. We've kind of just been like picking and choosing between the things. So like, one of the things that I just can't get behind in this movie is like, I don't find their like kindred spirit relationship believable.
Realistic. Yeah, realistic.
And like maybe it is, maybe it isn't, I don't know, but like personally I didn't buy it, so like maybe that's why I have a hard time having this connection in the way that other people did. You know, they're like, oh, it's a love story, it's like, oh, it's two people who are in like an alien setting or like place, and they kind of find solace with each other. But at the same time, I'm also a human being, and I understand that I am not going to have any kind of relationship with a 17-year-old.
Also, a 50-year-old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. You're 50 years old.
She's not supposed to be 17.
Yeah, she's supposed to be, like, 20 or something.
22 or something but, like that, right?
But irregardless, right? I'm not, like... if I'm 50 years old, I'm not, like, yeah, I want to have, like, a cool, happy, fun times with, like, a 20-year-old. Like, it's... they might as well be just as alien as fucking Japanese people, because they're so removed from my age group. Like, I guess that depends on like person. Maybe this is a more personal thing to me, but I'm like, they're just as relatable as the Japanese people I can't relate to.
Yeah.
The only difference is they speak the same language, so it's like, okay, cool.
For me, it's like they're the only foreigners in that bar.
Are they though? Because,
well, that's the thing.
There's the singers, the people who are playing the piano, her husband, there's the actress.
I mean, those are the people around her. The the lounge singers are always there, foreign. Like, they're American, and the piano player that I met recently was Dutch, and the drummer was German. So they're foreign, but they live there. They're on like a residency, right?
Right.
They've been there for the past year as well. They're really cool. Acoustics in that bar's fucking terrible though. It just goes like this. And first time I went, I was like, fucking hell, this is dreadful sound.
Yeah.
But it's awesome. It's a great, but like the view of just the city is amazing. But like, there are other foreigners there, right? So I think they established that at the start, where like two businessmen go, what are you doing here? You know, we loved that stunt. And he's just like, fuck off. And then she's her and the fucking DJ dude. And she's like, fuck off, I can't relate to you.
Yeah.
And then they look across the room and go, do I take a chance on him? And he's like, do I take a chance on her? Because she also looks pretty tired.
Mm-hmm.
They share a bit of banter, and then it's like, do you want to go out? Yeah, I find that believable.
Maybe. Okay, sure.
You know what I mean? Like, because you don't know what happens in a split second. You know, she could have just looked over and gone, he's looking at me, and he's probably thinking the same thing. He hates fucking everybody he's met in here, and I'll send him a drink.
Yeah.
Kudos, man. You know, because she sends something over, and then they don't talk. Like
sake or something.
And he's
like,
cheers. And then they meet again, and it's like, oh, thanks for the thing. And it builds.
Mm.
So I do find that aspect believable. And like, the older I am now, the more I'm settling, all this kind of stuff. Yeah, it's kind of like, whatever. But like, I have to think back to those moments I had with people when shit really did like matter in a split second. Now it's like life, right?
Right. Mm.
And like, being in this place in the first year was kind of like, everything felt special, right? So sure, like, yeah. I understand why their relationship could like bubble over. The age, yeah.
It's weird. It's like,
it's kind of,
for me, it's like, oh, a high schooler approached me in a fucking bar. So one, that's already weird. And two, it's like, I don't ever want to talk to a high schooler.
And three, you married? What the fuck?
Yeah, yeah, you know, exactly, right? Yeah. So,
and so am I, and I have kids, and yeah, I have exactly, to pick carpet right? for my office.
that someone FedExed me in to my fucking hotel room because they couldn't pick themselves.
So like, it's like a will they, won't they? Back to the romance kind of like trope, right? And like, the only physical thing he does apart from the end of the movie, which we'll get to in a bit, is just touch her foot.
Mm.
When they're sleeping when they next go to each other. And it's like, I know in that moment they're not going to sleep together.
Right.
I knew it because I'm just like, he sees her as like somebody younger, but he also sees her as like an equal.
Like a confidant.
Yeah. Kind of. And it's like platonic romance.
Right.
Where it's like, it doesn't involve sex. It doesn't involve anything that people watching movies generally are like, ooh, bring it on, right? This is why I go back to the whole postmodern romance thing. You're expecting them to, but then you're like, huh, I kind of see a different angle on this. And it's nice.
It does break trope in that way.
Yeah, it's nice. It's like, because in a way as well, with how their relationship builds, if they fuck, it kills it for me. Mm-hmm. It does, because it's like, it's not right. It shouldn't work because of their age. But somehow the
not even their age. Like, I don't buy their relationship. So like, if they're just suddenly like, yeah, let's fuck, I'm like,
but
no.
For me, it's like, it would never reach that point, and they both know it. And in their dialogue, I can kind of tell that, you know, they're never going to go past that point, but they can kind of share that space and go, I feel like shit. Me too. And that's what the movie is. You know what I mean? Until the end where like they kiss. Well, he kisses her, and it's kind of like more of a thanks for this. See you later. Right. I know this can't work, but I'm still going to acknowledge you and cheat on my wife again.
Yeah, apparently. Which,
you know what I mean? Like, I want to talk about music.
Okay. I don't really have much to say about the music.
I love the music.
Per se.
I love
it. I think it's good. It's well used.
I think it's one of the best movie soundtracks.
I haven't heard Peaches in a while.
Yeah, I think it's one of the best movie soundtracks. For this kind of movie, it introduced me to My Bloody Valentine.
Hang on, is Peaches on the soundtrack? Fuck the Pain Away. Is that on the set?
That's kind of
funny.
Well, it's like,
because like I can feel it's
supposed
like,
to be like off the thing, but
it's really ambient music, and then Fuck the Pain Away.
Fuck the Pain Away.
Yeah, it's very weird, but yeah.
This movie introduced me to shoegaze on like a wider scale. Shoegaze is you've been to my show, the guitar work I was doing at the end. The fuzz reverb is my favorite style, and it comes from these bands in the movie The Jesus and Mary Chain, Kevin Shields, My Bloody Valentine. This movie introduced me to them, and that's why I hold it in my heart. As a musician, I think it's a very, very well captured visual audio masterpiece, really. Like, there's some great fucking original tunes by Kevin Shields on it.
I think that the soundtrack to this movie is great.
It is great.
It is great.
It is great. Like,
that is one thing that, like, unequivocally, I'll be like, yes, I like that about
like,
this movie.
When she's sitting on the window, I know you don't give a fuck about what she's thinking in that shot.
Right.
She overlooks Shinjuku, the wretched hive of scum and villainy that is Shinjuku Station, right? But, like,
accurate.
Square Pusher plays.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a meow, 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 right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, wow, what a fucking nice accompaniment to the visuals.
Mm-hmm.
With the soundtrack to this, it really elevates it. If they had a different soundtrack, it would feel like a different movie.
I think
for
so.
Me,
yeah.
For me. Like that dream pop kind of ethereal kind of enveloped sound.
Right, because it's not...
And it's like, wow, you know, combined with the soundscapes.
It's not a happy movie, per se.
It feels like a dream in places. It feels like a kind of really confusing, weird fucking trip in places. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it does feel kind of, the visuals and the audio make it feel kind of isolating. It isn't a happy movie. It's far from a happy movie. I found the ending really heartbreaking in a weird kind of way, which we'll get to. But the music, I have to just shoehorn that in. It's fucking fantastic in this movie. There's no other kind of romance movie that has a soundtrack like this, in my opinion, that spans so many like legendary kind of shoegaze artist.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I can't think of another romance movie I've watched that has a soundtrack like this, because it's always like, you know, it's more stereotypical. It's like, you know, it's the yeah. you got the happy song at the yeah. end.
10,000 Maniacs plays.
Right, it's yeah. It's like, here's Red Balloons for
you. Right? yeah. Or just like Blink or something. Yeah. Like Blink 182.
Basically, yep.
The Offspring or something. Mm-hmm. Why don't you get a job? Or she breaks up with him or something like that. But you know what I mean? Like, or Cher or Enya.
Right.
Just yeah. anything, right?
Anything.
No matter how hard I try.
Anything with a fucking, what's that?
You keep pushing me.
Oh, God. Sad. What is that instrument Joel. Called?
No.
No, not instrument. Billy Joel. The, like an organ or whatever,
do you
right?
Believe?
Yeah.
Sorry. But, yeah, in this, it's kind of like the soundtrack is niche.
Mm-hmm.
Because it uses a musical kind of rock subgenre that's it's like post-rock shoegaze, which is like, whoa, what the fuck? Because if you go to a post-rock show, you close your eyes and you just listen to it.
Right.
You just like, what the fuck? And you feel the frequency, man.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're in this kind of fugue state. You're in this kind of state where you're just like, whoa, fuck. You get high off it. And it's like in this movie, knowing that they're jet-lagged and fucked, and then this music's playing, and the fucking visuals are like this. It's mm-hmm. like, wow, it works. It really
well,
works.
Well, that's like when the like the strip club scene happens, and it's just like,
Peaches again.
Well, it's because it's so different than any other scene in this movie.
Yeah, yeah,
It
yeah.
just kind of like
it
punches
you out.
It kind of punches you in the face, right?
Cause yeah,
because
like, it's the only time you see any kind of nudity or
yes.
anything like
and it's just like bang and you're like what the fuck but again
in that kind of soft romance kind of movie mm-hmm. it's like oh fuck women with their you know women right. nude and it's like it's straight in your face
mm-hmm.
how do you feel when you watch it you're like what the fuck this isn't that kind of movie
yeah it's
that's
yes.
the point
mm-hmm.
and he sat there uncomfortable and it's like yeah that's how we feel because it's like tit for tat, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like, yep. do you see what I mean? It's like very yep. subtle kind of shots and stuff that she uses and like scenes that she uses mm-hmm. to kind of amplify that message. I get that you don't like the characters, so I can't really justify that much. But
I mean, like, I think ultimately what it comes down to it for me,
you need good characters,
is that I don't find any of these characters believable, so I can't get along. I can't follow the plot, at least, like, logically. In, like, a shitty romance movie where it kind of just, like, spells it out A, B, to C, it's like, okay, I get it because I'm not a fucking idiot.
But sometimes you want that, right? Like, I like rom... I'll mention
here's,
it, yeah.
Here's my problem is that this movie doesn't make me think. This movie is subtle, but this movie doesn't make me think
right.
about any larger things. Except for, like, maybe the end. But even that's kind of been debunked over time.
Kind of,
right?
Has it?
Yeah. It has, because people have enhanced the audio and they know exactly what he said now, so.
That's why you don't enhance the fucking audio, you losers.
You should just
fucking forget about what he... Fuck you. The internet does not need people like you to debate shit.
She should have just, like, made that part silent.
Fair, but, like, she shot that and she was unhappy with the dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
She wrote, right? Yeah. And then Bill Murray just went in her ear, right?
Mm.
And then she went, do I up that? Nah, fuck it. It stays between them because that's their movie, right?
Right.
Which is a nice kind of like fourth wall-y kind of like, mm-hmm. here's my, you
it,
know.
And at least, at the end, it at least leaves you with something to chew on. But like, it's
this
so.
Is when people, I know people do it for fun, like, what she said. Oh, I've got this great audio equipment. I'll enhance it. Fuck you, man. Like, fuck off. Why? Why would you want to do that? Just fuck off.
I mean,
you know what I mean?
Knowing what he does say kind of like makes me like the movie a little bit more. In a way. Because
I'm gonna admit something. I don't know what he says and I don't want to know.
Okay, that's fair enough.
I won't
mention it. If you want to look it up, you can.
It's something I was interested in looking up, but like I understood when I watched the movie for the first time. I was like, I don't want to know what he says. Because of how it's shot, it's like, what does he say? What does he say? But then after a while, I was like, I understand why they kept it quiet. Because it, like you said, it's something to chew on. It's something exciting, right? But I don't want to know. I don't... Do I? Do you want janking on this?
No, I if you want to look it up, go look it up on your own time. I'll leave it up to your decision. But
nah.
It might wreck the movie for you. I will say I didn't look it up until afterward.
But you liked the outcome of it. Is that the thing? Nobody. It is his audio.
Yeah,
they boosted it.
As far as I understand, yes. There is some debate about like what is the like 100% accurate thing he says because he's like
talking over the someone's arm like this,
right? So it's a little bit difficult to hear.
Okay.
So even then, it's still a little bit up to interpretation, but there's like a commonly accepted thing of what he said at the end.
And how did you feel about it?
I think that it's...
Does it build their characters in any way?
Yes. Yeah, I think so. I think like in a weird way, it redeems part of why I hated Bill Murray's character in this movie.
Oh, now you've got me interested.
But
what does he say?
At the same time, I think he's also just as shitty.
What does he say? You can tell me.
Okay, so...
Oh, God.
I'm going to say spoilers for a 20-year-old movie.
It's 20 next year.
Well, I guess technically it's not spoilers, but like he says something along the lines of, he's like, the next time you go on a business trip, the first thing you need to do is go up to your husband and tell him how you feel.
Oh, that makes... Really? Is that what he says?
Something like that, yeah. To that effect. I'm paraphrasing because I don't have the exact quote.
Go up to him and tell him how you really feel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that makes sense. That makes sense. Because she's not happy with him.
No.
And, like, he gets in the car after that. And did you notice that the visuals get brighter when he gets in the car? Like, the weight's lifted, the sun starts shining through the window.
There's a kind of like a hopeful ending type thing.
You feel the wind blow past his ears, like in that moment, like
it's melancholy. Like, it's a little bit bitter, but there's like a hopeful end.
That's outside of Yodobashi Camera, by the way, where they kiss.
In
Shinjuku. Yeah. Because there's like Tocho Mai at the bottom of the street. Yeah. I've been there, and I was like, oh, that's where they kiss. And then I'm like, oh, it's Yodobashi Camera next to me. Like,
the fuck.
Tons of izakayas and just people going, oh, six, like just like down that street, man.
Yeah.
It's
a good Korean chicken place there too.
Oh man, hell yeah. That area is pretty dope.
Yep. I like.
Yeah.
Anyway, getting sidetracked. But yeah, like, so I don't know if 100% that's what is said, because even the people who have boosted the audio and listened to it don't know exactly too, but it's something to that effect.
People are still contesting it, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe it is better to leave it up to your interpretation. I like that take.
Headcanon, yes. Yeah, of course.
let's just say that it's headcanon for now, right?
For me, it'd be like, thanks for the, I don't know, thanks for the Wrigley's chewing gum that you left in my jacket.
Right, yeah.
Bye. Here's my minty breath.
I mean, like, there's so many more things that you could say about this movie, but like...
I want to talk about the gaijin smashing in this movie.
Okay, sure. I got lots of notes on that.
Go for it, brother.
Hit me. Let me just go back to page one.
wait. Let me... Okay, all
right. So, in the first, 10 minutes of this movie, right? He comes to the Park Hyatt, and the people are there, like, giving him omiyage. And I just wrote down, this is way too much omiyage for some old schmuck. It's like, there's a lot of meishi here.
I might ask Jordan when he comes down how many, like, fucking gifts he gets when he goes to
probably
like,
plenty.
How many gifts he gets. Yeah. And he's just, like, taking them with one hand as well. Meishi you take with two hands, right?
Yeah.
You know? But we're not gatekeeping here.
when he's in the bar for the first time and like the two dudes that are on like a business trip to try to like strike up a conversation, I wrote down, I never want to talk to another gaijin ever if I see them in real life. I just don't.
Hey Dave, that podcast, loved it.
Fuck off.
Wait.
No, I wouldn't say that. That's me.
Wait.
If someone
you're jet lagged, you're smoking a cigar.
If someone legitimately came up to me and was like, hey, like, are you so-and-so? I love your podcast. I'd be like, someone listens to my podcast? What the fuck?
Do you want a drink?
Yeah, kind of.
Do you do your own recordings?
I do.
Well, we're our own business.
Yeah. I had to laugh at the fucking fax machine in the room at 4:30 a.m.
That is accurate.
That's really fucking funny, but extremely accurate.
Yeah, like, this is a country that had a funeral for the final pager.
Yep.
And I think by the time we're dead, they'll still have fax machines.
Mm-hmm. Can we talk about, since we're, I think we're figuring we're going to wrap up here pretty quick.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the weird fucking prostitute scene when the guy hires the prostitute?
Rip my stockings.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I assume is meant to be haha funny, but it was just awkward and cringe.
Yeah.
And kind of gross.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
not
I might
funny.
Have to talk to my older friends who have stayed in many hotels and
with ladies
probably
of the night.
Got that kind of service. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Everything about that just feels gross.
The fact that a member of his entourage ordered that for him.
Yeah.
Is a bit weird as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, unsolicited as well.
Yeah, like, I don't want this. You know what I mean? Like, why?
Yeah, you know, yeah, exactly, right? It's like, I'm jet lagged and you sent a... Was she a hooker? I assume she was a fucking hooker.
And it goes against, I mean, in that hotel... Man,
like yeah, probably. Yeah,
it's not a hotel; it's an experience, right? Mm-hmm. The customer service in that place is second to none of anywhere I've been on the mm-hmm. planet, right?
And you think they would just let some random hooker
yeah,
up the elevator
and just go, "Is this okay?" Like we had a fucking issue with like a points kind of, because we had like two separate kind of points mm-hmm. cards, right? And we just wanted to get them transferred onto like one card.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole process went through four different people.
Right.
So this guy just sends a fucking
right up.
Sex worker to his room.
Right up.
And it's like, okay.
Mm.
Okay. You know, it's expensive for one person.
Yeah.
You know, all this shit. I'm just like, mm. you
yeah,
know, like,
I don't know. Everything about it felt skeevy.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. Like, do you feel like that scene was supposed to be played for laughs?
I think it was improvised.
Really?
Because you can tell Bill Murray's just like...
What?
Yeah. Like,
what's
going on? You can tell he's like... I think they just surprised him with that personally, but... Mm. Because there's one bit where he's like... Like, you can tell he's just trying to find the acting kind of chops needed for that scene, right? I want to talk about the hotel for a minute. When I checked in, I was like talking in Japanese, and then she just sort of fluently in English just went... Oh, well, I can sort this for you. And I was just like, fuck. Like, just...
Yeah.
I've met people here that are fluent in both languages, of course, but, like, the shift
mm-hmm.
with the customer service, smooth, silky, smooth fucking, like, gleam. You know, like, perfect keigo to just perfect English in the flick of an eye. And then, there's a box of pens where it's like... what do you call it? Disinfected. And then a perfect box of pens next to it. Used. And I'm like, ooh. It's one of these hotels, right? Leather. Low lighting. And when you check into your room, that lady who checks you in comes in with you and shows you everything. It's like, is this your first time? And I'm like, no, it's my second time. And they're like, oh, we'll still show you everything. This is the bar. And then you check the menu and it's like, there's a fucking... not Dom Perignon, but the... I forget the brand, and then it's like 10,000 yen for the bottle.
Yeah.
No, thanks, I'm good.
Yeah.
Just the view, please. And it's literally like, would you like to do a swimming pool reservation because of COVID? And it's like, yep, and that's free. And then it's like, would you like this? 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 And you're just like, uh-huh.
Just leave me the fuck
so
alone.
So either he must have gone, yeah, I want this person coming upstairs at this time, could you send them?
Mm.
Otherwise, it won't fucking happen, man.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It can't in that place. It's too perfect.
Yeah, it's very
too pristine,
weird.
Mate. It's too pristine. And the view of Fuji from that room, fucking hell. Fascinating story, actually. I opened the window one morning and it's just crystal clear. Like, you can see the whole mountain range.
Mm.
You can see up to where I live in Chofu. You can see Yokohama from it in the distance. And then I looked to the second building because they go dunk, dunk, dunk.
Yeah.
And there's guys on the roof just tampering with a satellite dish.
Mm.
Literally with like this, like a meter block standing between them and sudden death.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, wow. I just waved. I was like, hey. Great place. Great fucking place. And I'm envious that the character spent well over a week in it.
What else here? Oh, fucking
God.
Yeah, well, there's that. But no, the fucking scene where he's getting like he's getting the pictures taken. Roger Moore. He's like, can you do 007? 007? You know, you can do 007. He's like, what? He's like, what? He's like, you know, 007. He's like, oh, you mean like Sean Connery? He's like, no. Roger Moore. He's like, oh, I like Sean Connery. No, Roger Moore.
That's actually a reference to the Francis Ford Coppola Suntory commercials that he did that starred Sean Connery. '70s,
yeah.
So, like, it's a jab. Yep. Well, not a jab, like a subtle
It's a reference. You know,
subtle reference.
I was like, well, what other shit? I'm like,
kill me. What's that on your nose? Fukuoka arigato mushi mushi, kill me.
Yep. And I think this is when they're having the conversation in the bar. And I just said, man, fuck off with this white girl horseshit. It's fucking awful. Kill me.
What?
When she's like, oh, but like I was in like at California and
oh,
I was
she's
like,
supposed to be.
I know. And I'm just like, I fucking hate you so much. I understand she's supposed to be insufferable.
She's supposed to be Cameron Diaz.
Fucking hate her.
She's supposed to be Cameron Diaz.
Oh, okay.
Because Charlotte's supposed to be the director.
Mm.
Her husband, the photographer, Giovanni Ribisi, who's been in fucking everything, but you don't know his name.
Yeah.
That kind of guy.
Yeah,
right?
I know his face.
He's supposed to be Spike Jones.
Yeah.
Her husband at the time. And him and Cameron Diaz had a bit of a, you know, and I can tell that Coppola hates Diaz, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's her representation.
Okay.
Because, like, they mentioned Keanu Reeves, like, I went for Keanu Reeves when we did this Kung Fu movie and all this kind of stuff.
Right.
So, like, I have a feeling that she put Anna Faris's character in there to basically spite Cameron Diaz and go, this is my representation of that bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Suck it up. You know, and sing The Spy Who Loved Me really badly, even though I love that song. In the peak bar, which is a great bar.
I also mentioned, well, the TV is still the same as in 2022.
Yes,
absolute,
it is.
Absolute trash.
It is, yeah.
And I said,
just Samurai movies on it.
And then immediately I said, same with the rampant alcoholism. Yep.
Yeah, that's a good way. Oh god. Yeah, just like the horribly dubbed American movies.
Yep.
And it's his movie as well. Yeah. With the monkey in that. Right. Forget about
what
that.
Else? I said some dickhead FedEx swatches of the fucking carpet to.
Yeah. And he just drops them everywhere. Which one's burgundy, right?
You know what? Well, I do want to mention. So, like, they go to this party. Him and Bob and Charlie go
with
to this
balls.
Party.
It looks like Team Lab, doesn't it?
And I said, this is the weirdest looking party, but I actually believe it's real.
Yeah, because it looks like Team Lab, and it screams of that bougie kind of like, I shouldn't say bougie because I love it.
It feels like Shibuya, a Shinjuku Shibuya
subculture
kind of.
Yeah,
club.
Like surfers, potheads, just, mate, you just, Shimo.
Yeah. Yes.
Shimo. Yep. Shimo Kitta.
What else? I said the near constant ambulance sound in the background is fucking with me.
Oh my god, I've never noticed that, but it's true.
I'm sitting here and I see
Japanese summer, the amount of old people that die.
At one point I took my I took my headset off because I didn't know if it was in the movie or outside my house.
Outside, yeah. Mate, if it's it does look like, I mean, it was September, man. It's humid. A lot of old people in Japan. There are a lot of old people in Japan. It's
they
most
die.
In the world. They fucking die in the summer. Did I ever tell you about the time I was in Osaka in Nishinari? You know, in the 80s, it was like a homeless fucking war battleground, right?
Yep.
I stayed there with Finn and Scarif, two of our friends, in the first year.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an ambulance going by every 30 minutes because it was 40 degrees in Osaka.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's over. Another one. That's another one. So possibly, yeah. But if they're playing it for ambience, if they're just putting the same kind of fucking soundscape in, yeah, it's pretty lazy, but you know.
Yep. What else do I have here?
We've talked a lot about this.
I said the old grandma at the hospital is adorable.
Love her. Love her. And do you see the women in the back laughing?
Who are laughing is because, like, they're...
It's like, nah, nah, you didn't this guy. Like,
yeah.
He's just like, he's
like, I mean, it's like, she's asking, how long have you lived in Japan?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah,
haha,
yeah.
You're dumb.
Yeah, and the ladies are like, what a fucking idiot.
Basically.
And you know what makes me laugh is, like, the doctor is shown to be, like, this scary thing. And obviously, she doesn't say a single word to him. And he's just basically going, oh,
He's like, your toe's broken, but we can just tape it and it will be okay.
And
she's just like,
yeah. He's just like, kills good to know. Like this. Like, just basic Japanese.
Yep.
Yukurine. And she's just like,
There's a comment she also makes. She's like, she says something about, like, why did they mix up their R's and L's in this country? And I just read, it's a different language, you fucking twat.
Why do you say twat and I say twat? Because it's a different language.
There you go.
But I'm not going to fucking mince you about it because I love you. But yeah,
what else? Fucking political comment. Trucks are still fucking annoying.
I wonder what that part is.
Oh, it's got to be LDP.
It has to be because they're just robots.
I said, fucking A, this Japanese TV program interview is fucking accurate.
Tomin first.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, that, I checked to see if he was an actual...
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
TV host, right?
Yeah.
But I love how the box appears in his face.
Yes.
Like when the transition comes in, he's just like looking over the top. Yeah. I do like that. But again, it's sort of like... How do I say? Fetishizes like Japanese kind of like... Because Japanese TV all over the world is, like, known to be famous. Because I remember being with my best friend and we used to watch YouTube videos about wacky Japanese commercials.
Right.
And you think, what the fuck? Because in the UK, if you're selling toothpaste, it's like just a woman or a bloke just going, Colgate does the job. 9 out of 10 dentists recommend it.
Right.
By
it's very clinical, right?
Yeah, and there's no music, and it's very white and shiny, right? But then in Japan, it's like, Colgate! And it's like, fucking zooms in on the teeth, and it's like people dressed as like the fucking red and white and blue in the Aquafresh.
Yeah, like, and they're paste. Like,
doing and they're like combating plaque, and then it's like, 10 seconds, and it's like, buy it! Fucking buy it! Right?
Yeah.
So I understand why it's like that. But when you've lived here for a while, you just like,
it becomes noise.
I've already got toothpaste. Why would I need toothpaste? And by the way, if there's men in my toothpaste fighting my plaque, then my mum lied to me as a kid.
I mean, that's kind of cool. I'm not going to lie.
But you know what I mean? It's like...
The Kamen Rider of toothpaste.
So, like, I understand why they show it off in this film. Because to the normal person, it is fucking weird. It is.
Right.
Like, as a seasoned person who pays his taxes in this place... It's still fucking weird to me sometimes. Yeah, it is.
But I mean, that's why I wrote in my overall thoughts that it is rote wacky Japan bullshit. Because like it's just been constant 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. And I'm just like, I don't give up.
And it really does parody. Because this is why I was going to ask if that guy was real. Because it does parody like those kind of varieties.
Yeah, I'm almost nearly 100% sure that he's an actual real dude.
Because those variety shows are literally, you can turn on a channel on a Wednesday and four or five fucking channels have got the same kind of content.
With the same kind of content, with the same fucking people.
There's a
fucking
eggplant in a field and they're like, ooh, sugoi. And it's like they put it in Nabe and it's like,
Yeah, they have an absolute fucking aneurysm.
Just have an orgasm. Sarikoto! And it's like, yeah, you can put it in Nabe.
Yeah.
Ooh. But Kagoshima Nabe or something, I don't fucking know.
You're right,
know.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You know what I mean? But like, it parodies that well. We have to wrap this up.
This is going to be the longest episode, I think.
Nah, maybe the show was 1 minute, 1 hour 40.
Oh, was it? Really?
Yeah, okay. I think. But anyways, what would you like to kind of end on, man? Your rating?
That is my rating, yes.
What is it?
I'm going... So...
Did I up your rating at all during this?
No.
Change it.
No. No, you have not. You have not.
This is the biggest difference in rating since
I think Hardboiled. So. Yep. Yeah. And I think that this movie suffers in the same way that Hardboiled does. In that
lots of guns.
Yes, lots of guns. Hardboiled is too much of a good thing. right? Hard Boiled is too much action to where I just get bored.
Mm.
Whereas this is too much of like, these people are sad. Alienation is bad. It really sucks. Japan is wacky. And it's just like an entire hour and a half of the same thing just pumping into my eyeballs. I'm like, I don't care.
Fact.
Like, I want a story with a beginning, middle, and an end. It's got an arc. The characters change over the arc, and I actually give a shit.
You can't... I mean... I'll come up with my thing in a minute. Do you have anything else to say?
I mean, I don't hate this movie, but I will never watch this movie again. I have no intent to watch this movie again. I find it extremely boring.
Are you glad you watched it?
In a way, yes, because I don't understand how this movie won a fucking Oscar. Because I think I sent you a message after I finished watching this movie.
Dude, what the fuck?
And I was like, this movie won an Oscar? What the absolute fuck?
I've got my work cut out tomorrow.
But I find it hard to empathize with the characters. I find the things that they do in this movie fucking annoying. I find all of the wacky Japanese bullshit to be incredibly rote. I find the story to be rote. It's just there's nothing in this movie that does anything emotionally for me.
Yeah.
And not only that, it lacks some kind of a story as well.
Yeah.
Not like a hard, you know, A, B to C story, but I feel like for me, this movie kind of says like, you're dumb. Like,
yeah, you
don't get it. It's too deep for you. Right. Like maybe it's not. And I just feel that way, but it's kind of like intellectually offensive.
I see a different side to it. I really resonate with the themes and like what it shows me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just think it's, for me, before I stayed in the hotels and lived here and stuff, I did think it was a masterpiece visually and like audibly, and I really enjoyed everything in it. I really did, man. Now, after being in that hotel, and I watched the movie in the hotel just for a laugh, right? Because I was there. It felt like an advert for the hotel. And that's where I'm going to lower my rate.
There's some stuff where this feels like an advert for Suntory Whiskey, an advert for the hotel.
If you stay there and watch it, it's surreal.
Yeah.
Because you swim in the pool and then you watch it and you're like, I was just there. It's literally outside.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, and have I gone too far with this?
Right.
Where, like, my old favorite movie is now, like, I'm living in the shot.
It's blended into reality now.
But then, like, it depends on how you deal with that. Because, like, I enjoy going to places that have been in movies.
Sure.
And I think, well, that was dope. That's where that happened. And I've got to that stage with it now. But the first time I stayed there, I've stayed there twice. The first time I stayed there was last summer. And it was overwhelming. I was like, fuck. Wah. Second time I went, I was like, this is a great hotel. But the movie, I don't think I can watch again.
Mm.
Now, I can't. So I didn't watch it for this week, but I've seen it so many times. I can just,
you know what I'm talking about.
It's an 8.5 now.
Mm.
It used to be a 10 many years ago. It's an 8.5 now. I will lower it. There is some issues with time and everything. Over time, sorry, that has kind of crept up on me. Some of the stuff you mentioned as well. But I do really fucking love this movie. I do. It's got a place in my heart. It's very important on my pathway to living here and stuff. It was like just a piece of media that kind of helped influence me. And like, there is that degree of sentimentality attached to it. Mm. So I can't give it a bad rating, man. And I know you'll probably go on Tokyo Fresh this week and go, I watched Lost in Translation. It fucking sucked, to Jordan. And Jordan will go, yeah, it sucks, even though he's probably never fucking seen it.
Now, he's admitted to me he's never seen it, because I asked him if he had seen it.
But, like, I know Jordan would, like, watch that going in, knowing he would hate it, because you and him are very similar-minded in that regard. Mm-hmm. I understand that. But I do understand a lot of what you're saying, because I share the same kind of thoughts and feelings as you, mm-hmm. as a seasoned person who's lived here. Completely get it, man.
I mean, it's... I think a lot of the times when someone sees a rating, like I'll just say it right now. I'm going to give this movie a 3 out of 10. but I think a lot of people, when they see that, you like...
chop him all a 4, bro.
I know. I know. My metric is enjoyable for whatever reason.
Right.
So I don't care if it's a B movie. I don't care if it's a triple A Hollywood amazing fucking whatever, right? Enjoyable for any reason. And this movie has no joy for me personally. So
it's a very Instagram heavy movie.
Kind of, yes.
This is why when like if any kind of influencer slags off this movie, I'll be like, you do what's in this movie.
Kind of.
So like, you know, if you make it look kind of dim and you're up against the backdrop of neon lights, you've definitely seen this movie and you're definitely trying to spin that kind of web. And intentionally or nah, you can't slag off the movie for how it fucking looks because it looks awesome.
Right. I definitely think it looks amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not saying you, just like in general, like...
Should I go get the door?
The doorbell, yes. Here's alone time with James while Dave answers the door. So yes, Dave gave this movie a 3 out of 10 and I was incredibly disappointed by the outcome. And to be completely honest with you, I do understand what Dave is saying. But at the same time, I fucking love this movie. I'm just rabbiting on about this. But yeah, I'm going to read some of Dave's notes. Okay. Let's go. Oh, shit, he's back. Hang on. Fuck. Hey, Dave.
Hi. Sorry. I had to pick up a delivery.
You're going
to
listen to this back later and just be like, what the fuck was he on about? He just repeated himself. Yeah. Let's wrap this up.
Okay. So three for me.
Yeah.
8.5 for you.
I just want to wrap up on something. Mm. If you... picture this.
Mm.
Okay. If we made a movie about Japan.
Yeah, okay.
And it was kind of a pseudo-romantic kind of like thing.
Okay, yeah.
What would it be about? What would you call it? And why? Because Lost in Translation is a very apt title for an idiot who doesn't care to understand a language and he just gets mixed messages or whatever and it's right. Like, ah, fuck, right? Well, not necessarily an idiot, but anybody who doesn't understand the language, but like mostly idiots who live here for years and don't bother to study. But anyways. Mm-hmm.
I mean, okay, what's the plot of this movie?
It can make it anything.
Whatever.
It could be at your station.
Okay, but it has to be a romantic comedy.
Could be at the soap land. It could be by the could be in a Yoshinoya. You know what I mean? You could, during the corona pandemic and there's another foreigner next to you and you eat the same flavored gyudon bowl and it's like, wow.
I think okay, if I was gonna make a movie about about living in Japan or like about Japan, like a similar type movie, I would probably make a movie that's based off of me or many of the people I've met and take a lot of their experiences of their first year living here.
Yeah, absolutely. I was gonna go with this.
Like, I can just see scenes of this in my head. It's like, okay, you know, it's similar to the scene where they're waiting at the doctor and they're like talking to fucking people, but it's like, oh, I gotta wait at the shakusho, or oh, I gotta go to like
shakusho,
I gotta go to the visa renewal in Shinagawa or something. But then there's like, you know, there's just like moments where you're at, you know, Matsunoya at like 2 a.m. after you've come home drunk from karaoke.
Face full of gyudon.
And you're sitting in gyudon. Like, it's just the shot from outside. You can clearly see Matsuya. And it's just like you sitting in the window just eating gyudon. And it's like silent and the music's playing. Like, I can see that exact shot.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, something has happened in your life.
Mac DeMarco's playing.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Yeah.
But like... things that are like
days are over.
more realistic to the actual experience of living here, because I don't think there's ever been a movie that's about ever been made about actually living here.
Yeah.
Like, maybe that's a weird, some fucking weird YouTube shit that you find, but
that's awesome. I mean, a long time ago, I kind of wanted to do a movie here because I've
you know what I mean? I have that background, right? And I thought it's rich in that kind of tech, because I watched that movie, right? I was like, yeah, it'd be great to shoot a movie here, you know, without any kind of restrictions using my friends. But like
I can see the montage already. It's like, you're at fucking work doing your shitty teaching job, and then it like hard cuts to you at like fucking drunk as fuck in karaoke or something. And then it's like next day you're back at your fucking shitty job and you're just like, oh,
you
fuck.
You trip over your washing machine that's like weighed down like on bricks or something.
Yeah, that was my fucking watch.
That
machine.
Was you, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wondered who it was. My stomach's rumbling, by the way. But like, you just trip, like, in my kind of walkway of my first house was this giant step, and I just ate shit every time I went out of my teachers, man.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, and I woke up at 4 a.m, just face full of drool, and you're just like, what the fuck? Oh, it's Saturday, I get to do this again in 10 hours, like, 4 hours, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know if that movie's interesting,
but... What would you call it? Salad Days.
Salad Days.
Salad Days.
Oh God, what would I call it? You know what? I would call it like something like weird, like 24-hour Gyudon or something.
Oh, 24-hour Skier People.
Yes.
Yeah, that was the name of my first photo album.
Skier Man.
Skier Man.
Skier Man!
But then the MCU knocks on your door and it's like, hey, we're looking for a character in the
fucking Samuel Jackson walks into the Sukiya at 4 a.m.
And he's just like, get up, motherfucker! Stairs, motherfuckerly. Yeah. You get on.
Yep.
Just your bukkake udon. Like,
yep.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
I'd do like a... I was actually writing a script a few years ago about just like a tourist who comes and he's a fucking idiot. But like, he just meets this Japanese salaryman that's just in like a bar, right?
Right.
And they go off on like some weird kind of journey where... So the salaryman's got shit at home and he's just like... getting sick of his snack, and he just meets this guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the guy's like, oh, I want to go here, I want to go there. And the guy's like, nah, come with me and I'll fucking show you like the real shit. As like a way of escaping like his life. And the language barrier is like, he only speaks Japanese, he only speaks English. So it's kind of like see no evil, hear no evil, but like in Japan. I had that kind of idea. And in the end, they kind of part ways as friends, and it's just like, cheers. But it's not a romance. It's more like a kind of buddy comedy, but like, pretty deep and emotional because the salaryman's got some shit going on. He's got like a sick daughter, and like the fucking foreigner is just like just divorced and he's just fucking jetted off somewhere. You know what I mean? And it's like they find common ground.
Like I would, if I was going to take that script, I would do it where like the foreigner is not a tourist, but I'd make him like kind of like a fob worker of some job. And like he goes to the closest, like he gets posted somewhere fucking weird and he goes to like the closest bar to his house, which happens to be a snack, but he's dumb and he doesn't know what a fucking snack is.
And I just have some snacks, please.
Right. And he just meets that old guy at the fucking snack, right? And then they have, it's like they don't really know each other, but they always see each other because they're going to the snack all the time. And like over time they kind of
that'd work because there's not enough fucking buddy kind of comedy set here like that.
No.
There's none, really.
Nothing.
So...
except Mr. Baseball.
We need to... Do you want to watch Mr. Baseball next week? As part of our Ken Taco... It is kind of set in Japan, yeah, so maybe not, but I want to resume the Matsumoto trilogy.
Trilogy.
That we'd envisaged.
Wait, do we want to do a prequel or the sequel?
Go 13? That's on YouTube, I'm pretty sure.
We'll talk about it after. We'll decide after.
But everyone, that was Lost in Translation, weighing in at almost 1 hour and 40 minutes. It's
10 minutes longer than the actual fucking movie.
Could have been a commentary. But anyways, we'll wrap this up, everybody. Thank you so much, and see you next week.
As always. Yes.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.